All right, we are back. You know, this is part two of the video on Find, Search, Organize. Last video, we looked at some of the libraries and some of the improvements to search and explore and finding your files. Now we're looking at federated search. So yeah. Why don't you guys quickly introduce yourselves, too?
Yeah, sure. I'm David Washington. I'm the platform PM for the Find and Organize team.
I'm Brandon Paddock. I'm a developer for the Search Federation feature on Find and Organize.
Okay, so what is this?
So just a little bit of background. So we looked at libraries, and they're all about helping users get at their files that are all over their desktop, all over their machine, and make it easy for them to get at them. And federated search is for this. Enterprises have come to us, and they've sort of said, hey, our data is actually moving off the desktop and into these like central document repository things.
SharePoint.
Like SharePoint. And also they're moving into all these like spread all over into like HR databases and legal databases. So they're like, we need a way to rein all this in, and we need a solution that works within our existing like workflows and works with our apps and stuff like that.
Cool.
So we built federated search to do just that. So,
okay.
I mean, we can show it to you.
Yeah. So, you know, this is obviously, it'd be great to hear some of the differences in thinking around. So with Windows Vista, what you all did, because there really wasn't federated search, or maybe there were some APIs, but maybe not everybody was taking advantage of it. And what was the sort of high-level thinking on going to Windows 7 with that?
Yeah. So in Windows Vista, we did a lot around indexing files and doing local search.
Mm-hmm.
And you could always plug into the Windows Explorer and get your custom data source to show up in Explorer.
Mm-hmm.
But you had to basically write all these APIs. You had to use all these local APIs, like create a shell folder. And you'd have to do a lot of client work. And,
and they really didn't focus on search at all, so you couldn't do search through those APIs very well.
Mm-hmm.
You could plug into the indexer, in which case the indexer would go crawl your data.
Right,
like Outlook does this.
Sure.
Yeah, good example.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of work. So all of these...
And it hits your server a lot as it's crawling all this data on hundreds and hundreds of machines. And people kind of told us that they didn't want that.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so this idea of search federation is like, hey, send a query send the query to the server. Let the server do all the queries on their side, and then let the server return results to Explorer, and then we'll show them. So it's
Excellent.
Really like searching and viewing those items on the remote server in the Explorer.
Cool, very cool. All right, so let's take a look, and you guys are going to show us code too, how to build this.
Yep.
So first, I guess show the feature in action. But
yeah, sure. Let's take a look at a SharePoint site. So we've got this Litware SharePoint site. Let's just take a look at federated search for this SharePoint site.
Sure.
So I can just search for Orion trial. And this search query that I just wrote here was sent to the SharePoint site. And the SharePoint site returned these two results.
Awesome.
And it's not like downloading these files or anything like that. It's actually, we're actually seeing a view of those search results on the server.
They returned just metadata
for
the items.
And did you have to do anything on the SharePoint side to do this? Or is this just sort of, you plug it in on your machine to tell it to go search the SharePoint and magically everything happens?
So, well, that gets into like how we built this platform.
Okay, so
we'll get to that.
We'll get to it.
Yeah.
Perfect.
But you can see in these search results that they're actually like rich items. You know, they look just like the Explorer search results with
pit
highlighting, and snippets where you actually can see what's in the view, and you can open up previews for these items just like for local items.
Awesome.
And
awesome.
You can, you know, toggle between these two. So, so federated search is all about getting this remote content and bring it close to the desktop so you can do all those great desktop things that you're used to.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can right-click and print, or you can drag and drop it to the desktop. We're giving you a view of that data. We don't have any functionality that lets you like copy stuff back to the SharePoint through Explorer.
Right, sure.
But this is like you can search that content and easily get to it and do all those great Explorer things with that remote content.
Cool.
Yeah, and the idea behind how we did these things like previewing and drag and drop was to get just the minimal amount of data from the server we need when we need it. So when we display the search results, we're just getting the metadata for all the items. And then when you tell us you want to drag and drop it, or you right click and you click, you know, print. We do kind of a just in time download, we call it like download and go internally, to get the file just when we need it.
Okay, cool. So you're not paying sort of a performance penalty while it does all those things to thrash the 8 megs of results, for example, onto your hard drive.
Right. Yeah. Like if you just went to... So SharePoint has some features where you can browse it kind of like a network share, and it's not quite as user-friendly. You don't get all the properties, and the search sometimes can be... It doesn't search in the content very well. And the other problem with that is when you get things like thumbnails or you get previews, like or any properties, we end up going back to the server for every item just to show it in the view.
Right, so you have this sort of latency.
Yeah,
because I can see this is
it
really
generates
fast,
a lot of traffic, whereas this we've minimized
super,
it as
super
much as
lightweight
possible
on the server. Yeah. You know, like it's really as light as lightweight as doing a search on the server.
Excellent.
And
or
another
lighter.
Yeah. Another concept here is we're trying to build bridges between that local local experience, this client type rich experience, and the web stuff, because you might have something that's on the SharePoint site that that's custom to that SharePoint experience, so you can just click View Site and see those search results returned in the Internet Explorer.
Excellent.
So we've kind of like built a bridge between local stuff and this remote stuff.
Right. Right. Awesome.
So and that's sort of, you know, something that's maybe you can show us like an image search.
So what are you going to show us?
So part of the value we see in integrating this feature with Windows Explorer is that the Windows Explorer platform is very rich and robust and been built up over many years, and there's a lot of value in having applications today, like this is a completely unmodified version of Word that is today, and they use the Common File Dialog a lot. So if I go in here and say I want to insert a picture, I can use our search federation. I can pick an image search location. So this could be like company database or some internet image search source, and say I want to add a Microsoft logo to this Word file here, and go in, take a look at them. I can see, you know, the thumbnails. Pick which one I want to add, and it's inserted into my document.
Awesome. So that whole part about the extensibility, like all those providers, you could either developers or inside your company build those providers, and then you get them directly in any of those dialogues?
In all your apps,
Windows
they use
dialogues.
A common file dialog, so they
awesome.
Can take advantage of Search Federation.
And this is searching the internets too, right?
So this logo came off of a website on the internet and was pulled into Word. Word doesn't know where it came from. It just... The Common File Dialog does all the magic to glue that together.
Perfect.
Yeah, and then like once you got this image into Word, you can do all the rich things that you're used to doing. Like you can, you know, Word has all this great, these great picture things where you can look at drop shadows and, you know, and that's really why it's great, because it's the edge, you know, between the software and services. You know,
software,
I mean,
plus services,
software plus
yes.
services.
That's
PC
yes.
2008.
We're going to laugh every time we say that, but yeah.
So. And then we had
very
another.
Cool.
Do you want me to show the channel 9?
Yeah. So something else that's interesting is like even if providers don't necessarily know that. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe this is a good time to talk about how we built this, because you know, people might say, "Oh, Search Federation, you built some like RPC calls, or you're doing something really complicated."
Right.
It's actually really simple. What we did is we use the OpenSearch standard that exists today. To tell us how to query a server, you know, to describe the connection string, and then we use RSS or ATOM to return the search results.
Awesome.
So a lot
so
of
open standards to be able to do this stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, but we've also like we have a few extensions, so you can actually do like rich. You can actually return rich thumbnails and previews and add properties and stuff to your thing.
Interesting.
So you can do more than what's just in the standard today. But you can
thumbnails and treating things like files like that. The SharePoint example we gave had none of our extensions, and that just worked. You saw Word documents and rich thumbnails and all that stuff. Our extensions let you do more site-specific things, like tell us how you want the view to look. So if you have some important properties, and we'll take a look at that in a few minutes.
Cool, yeah.
But the great thing about using RSS and ATOM for this is it overlaps with the SharePoint and Microsoft Search Server story, where they just released Federation last year using the OpenSearch and RSS. And a lot of services and enterprise search or enterprise document stores already implement RSS or ATOM or some kind of XML output. So it's very easy to adopt this.
And certainly on the web, too, everybody at least has an RSS feed for their results,
yeah,
if not, you know, even richer APIs. So
yeah, let's look at,
we just hooked up a
little Channel 9 search connector here.
Love it.
So let's search for Silverlight. And it searches, it sends that search query to the Channel 9, you know, search engine, and Channel 9 returns RSS search results, and we...
Usually does.
We,
hey, all right.
We pop these up in the Explorer.
If it's slow, that's our fault.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's good. And we get the same hit highlighting. We can open up a preview of this item and see what's going on there.
Yeah, in this case, we're showing the web page where it came from.
Also, and we can change this, and we see thumbnails.
Oh,
for each
that
of those
is
videos.
Very cool.
So I don't know. You're probably in some of these.
Yeah, so, sadly.
These are pretty big documents. So we're not going to just download them right now. But
sure.
You can imagine I could just drag and drop this to my Zune or whatever, and just go. You know what I mean? I don't have to open up Channel 9 or if yeah. So
awesome.
Yeah, and this is all. This is a great example because Channel 9 didn't know we did this. They did their RSS feed just works.
Right.
If
right.
If you took some extra time, you could actually map custom properties, like have instead of just tags like you have there today, you could have people and show which people are in each of these videos. You could search by them, we could show them in our view.
And then you could take advantage of, I guess, some of the other search features to get that sort of rich filtering or fidelity that is already in Win 7 Explorer.
Yeah,
but
some
of them. It's based on...
Yeah, some of them. Like, the first step is just, we want to just connect users to their stuff at first, and then the next step is, you know, you can imagine some bigger investments, so.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
let's look at it from the platform. Let's actually...
Okay, so we want to dive in and see how easy it is to...
Yeah, so we're going to build one of these, right?
Yeah, so we have, this is actually part of David's PDC session. We have this standard database, SQL database, that the SQL team publishes on MSDN called AdventureWorks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a database with products and locations and contacts and pictures and all this stuff for a fictional company.
Right.
So what we're going to do is build, what we have is a very basic website built on that SQL server that shows, I need to change the default here. That shows like a product search, product catalog search for people working at this company.
Mm-hmm.
So if they want to go and find like all the mountain bikes that they sell, they can do that today, and they can search and get the results on their in their web browser.
Okay.
Now, what we've added to this is RSS output. So you can see in Internet Explorer, you have the RSS icon lit up, and when you click on it, you can see the standard RSS view and IE.
Sure.
And if we look at this, we can see how simple it is to create items like this. You can look at the source and see, you know, you have an item, you give it a title.
Yeah, I don't see anything.
It's nothing special. It's nothing.
Give it a link.
This looks like RSS too.
This is just RSS. And so anyone can build this. They can use any technology they want. They can use ASP.NET. They can use PHP. They can use, you know, Ruby, whatever they want to use on their server. And we don't know. All we care about is that you give us some XML that looks sort of like this. If we take this this exact source and we build an OpenSearch description file for it, you have that, David?
Yeah, it's it's on the desktop there.
Okay. So if we look at a basic OpenSearch description file for that, it's also pretty simple.
So is this a file that goes on the server, or how exactly?
Yeah. So this is
where does this go?
The idea how we see these getting deployed are two ways. Admins can deploy them through group policy and things like that, or a web server can host a link to one of these and have a link that says add to Windows or search from Windows, something like that, or just open search. And when the user clicks on it, this file is opened by Explorer by default if you give it the right file extension.
Sure.
And so this is a standard that exists. People already have files like this on their web servers so that IE can add their providers to their search box. All we require is that you have one of these that has a URL type that's RSS or Atom.
Mm-hmm.
And then you give us a template that says, this is my server. This is where in the URL you stick the search terms. And there's a few other parameters that we prefer that you have, like, so we can do paging. So you say start index and how many items.
Okay.
But the most basic, you just say, here's the query. And if we add that to Explorer, you get this little dialog saying the search connector was added to Windows. Tell you where the query is going to go, and we add a shortcut to your favorites.
So you can get to it quickly. Cool. Okay, so now we have now we'll be able to search.
You can do that
here.
same query, mountain to get mountain bikes, and we get those results inside the Explorer.
Very cool.
And if I preview them, you know, I can see the web page with the result, and you know, you get the pretty basic experience very, very easily. What we can do from there is go in and add some more rich functionality to this source. So if you look at this code, let's see, was it Shift-Alt-Enter?
Enter.
You can see how we're using Link here to query this database and generate some really simple RSS.
Sure, you're taking results from the database and just make it into that RSS feed.
Yep, yeah, exactly. Nothing special. People already do this today.
Okay.
Yeah. And so for each item in the database, we make it, we output the title and description and the link and the date. Now, I mentioned we support RSS and Atom. We also support some extensions, one of them being the Yahoo Media RSS namespace.
Okay.
So if you specify, as many providers already do, a thumbnail using the media RSS namespace, we will pick that up too.
Control K C? Or Control K U, I think.
Yeah, Control K U.
Yeah.
One more time.
All right, so we got that uncommented.
Hopefully that won't be on the test, okay.
We can rebuild our our project here.
So that's just adding another attribute to that RSS too.
Yep, and I can actually show you, make sure we, I don't know if we had to restart that or not. You can tell I'm not actually a web developer. And if we look at this RSS output, it's the same as before, but now we have this media colon thumbnail property.
Okay, and that's pointing to just the URL.
Just the URL on our server that knows to display a picture for some product ID.
Cool.
Which just came from the database. So now if we look at that again, we go back to Explorer, do a search on here, we should get thumbnails.
So now very cool.
We have those in the view, and those, you know, one line of XML to add that.
Very cool.
And the final thing we can add is some custom properties, which aren't in any of the built-in namespaces.
Okay.
So let's say we have some stuff like a color for each product. So we have a color of the bike. We have copyright, so you can see what date, you know, that product was released, maybe, in the company that makes it. So if we output that just in our own custom namespace, XML namespace, I can show what that looks like. Oops. it's still pretty simple, but now we have a few extra tags here. We have example colon color, this one's silver, 2002, we have company. Now, by default, nobody knows what to do with these extensions you added.
Mm-hmm.
In our OpenSearch description file, though, we can go and use one of our OpenSearch extensions. Sorry, I'm not familiar with David's machine. And what these do, just some more XML where you tell us, this is my example namespace, so this was in that RSS where I the namespace I used, and here are the elements. I have color, company, and what I want to do is map them to one of the Windows properties. So Windows, if you're familiar with Windows Search at all, we have this property system and these property names like system.company, system.copyright. There's like 950 of them or something.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So you can find one for pretty much anything, or you can add your own.
So, yeah, this is where we're actually wiring it up. Like, you're wiring up your server-side property to the local schema.
Very cool.
And this is, you do the mapping actually in that OpenSearch description file.
So it says every time we see a company tag in this namespace in the RSS, then what we'll do is we'll put that in the system.company field. We also have the ability down here to tell us a list of those properties that you want to show up in the view. So we can say we want the display name, we want that color, we want company, we want the description or auto summary, and we want the copyright. And we can control what shows up in the details pane pretty much the same way. So what that looks like, if we add this OpenSearch file and do a query like this, we'll actually see company show up in the search result.
Copyright,
the color, you can see that stuff down here at the bottom. And now you've got an even richer experience where you surface the relevant properties for that kind of result.
Awesome. Now, are there ways to actually, would this be something that would be done on the server, just thinking out loud here, where you could actually send in, say, give me only yellow bikes? Like, is that something that needs to be done on the search term, that needs to be done for the parameters you pass in, or how exactly would that work?
The server is really, we just send our query to the server.
Okay.
The server can handle it in any way that they want. Like, if they have a specific way to that you can specify only yellow or something like that.
Okay.
And if the user knows that, then they can type that in.
Okay.
Yeah, like against SharePoint, you can do a similar query syntax to Windows. So you can type author colon David and get all the documents from David. Mm-hmm. So that'll work because the server supports it. Mm-hmm. As for pivoting from results, that's something that we're really interested in getting feedback on what people would like to be able to do and how they think we should implement that. But you know, this is our first foray into this kind of data-driven shell extensibility.
So right.
We think this is like the immediate, the most important value that we can offer. Mm-hmm. And we're really interested in ideas about how to take this forward.
Cool. And this is probably, again, maybe a stupid question, but are these attributes ones that I can filter on the client side? Like if I have that RSS, can I now filter that RSS by those system attributes?
You can in some cases.
Awesome. So is that everything?
That's about it. I mean, again, it's just all about connecting, you know, users to that remote data in their Explorer experience. And we're really excited about the platform because today, if you want to provide content to the shell, you really need to write like native code and use COM and stuff.
Yeah.
Like today, there's no client code. You can use any language.
Yeah. Everything we showed here, all of these like four locations we showed have no client code installed.
Yes.
Just an OpenSearch description file that tells us how to connect. And
that was XML, right?
That's just XML. Yep.
So very easy for people to do.
Exactly.
And
to even share these OpenSearch providers, right? So you can imagine somebody like a popular website for enthusiasts would like throw 10 search providers that would already be built.
Exactly.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Channel 9, you know, if they wanted to have something like that, they could add a link.
Just saying.
Anyone could do it.
Very cool.
And the other thing, we do have a client API you can use that's really simple. It's one method you implement that lets you handle these results in client code, including .NET, because we host them out of proc, and you just return back some XML. And we have some cool demos where people can use that for custom authentication. Mm-hmm. So if you have, you know, a repository of some kind of data that requires some, I don't know, something that's not supported out of the box, normally we do NTLM, Kerberos, basic HTTP.
So let's talk about that real quick from a security perspective. You know, you mentioned HR, finance. You may not want to know. I want to be able to pull up my data, but I also don't want to get results back for, you know, everybody that has the same name as me and their salaries, for example. So
yeah, it's really up to the server.
Is it just built in, or does it do a...
It's up to the server. Like with SharePoint, we're authenticating usually with NTLM or Kerberos, so they have your domain credentials. So it's just like if you searched on the website. They know to restrict to just the things that you have access
perfect,
to.
Perfect.
So we use the standard Windows networking API, so we get all the standard Windows authentication options, which is actually a pluggable system, so if you plug in something else, that'll work. Or like I said, we have that API, so if you want to do a custom...
If you need to do custom, it's available,
if you have a super custom login thing, like the system doesn't support forms based auth out of the box, but you could code up your own by using the iOpenSearch source, so...
Cool.
Yep.
Yeah. Cool. So awesome. We're really excited about it, and we're fine.
Yeah, we're looking forward to talking more about this in the future and getting people's feedback, because I think this is the first time we've really gone in this direction. I think it'll be really interesting to hear what people think about it.
Awesome. Cool. Thanks, guys. Cool. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.